No, I'd like to try to qualify and maybe clarify some things. I've been sharing about the two bodies. Last time I shared, I didn't. I shared about the scripture that talks about whose head, the wise man's eyes are in his head. Well, that was kind of a departure from some things that I have been sharing for since the first of the year, actually, when the opportunity arises for me to be able to share with you. And I've been sharing out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, so if you'll turn there with me. I want to try to say this as plainly as I can. And, of course, maybe everybody basically already understands this. But to just really try to communicate, because most everything I've been sharing on this subject really lies in this area of what I want to just kind of talk about today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, let's start with verse 35, and we'll read down through 38. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? Okay, now, just to remember this, everyone. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is dealing with resurrection. That's the subject, resurrection. And it's not just dealing with resurrection. The first part of it deals with that resurrection is a fact. That there are people who didn't, you know, that believed in Christianity but didn't believe in resurrection. And Paul spent the first part of this chapter kind of saying, hello, if you believe in Jesus but you don't believe in resurrection, you kind of don't believe in Jesus. All right? And then he goes on to explain in the latter part that the Jesus that we believe in is the Jesus who has been resurrected. And then in the latter part, he tries to explain that the Jesus that has been resurrected was not just the man Jesus, not just the person of Jesus that walked the earth 2,000 years ago, but he was raised up with a new body. And that body is us. We are the body of Christ. Okay, that body is us. And now, see, everything within me just wants to say it all, but that body is not what I'm looking at right here. That body, that resurrection body, is not a group of gathered people in this place or in any place. It is not. This body may be a result of the resurrection, but this is not the resurrection body. And these are the things that I'd like to take some time to share. And verse 35 thrusts us into that immediately. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up and with what body do they come? And okay, so here he is. He's your typical person with a certain amount of theology. And that theology is, okay, I believe in a resurrection and Jesus died and he got up. And then we're going to die and we're going to get up. Okay. So he asks it. You can tell that his understanding is still singular. It's not plural. It is not Christ in his body, meaning the many members that are truly the body of Christ. It is God. Jesus is not the resurrection and the life, meaning raised us up in him as one, but he is the resurrector. And as such, that's what he's saying now. That's not what the scriptures declare. Jesus himself declared, I am the resurrection, and I'm the life that comes up out of resurrection. All right. So, this man that's asking this question is asking this question based on his own individuality, on his self, on me. What about me? When I die, will I get up? Okay? When I die, will I get up? This is the mentality that he has, and this is the mentality that many people have about resurrection and their comprehension of what it's really about. So he says, but Paul says it, but some men will say, but some people say it like this. Some people say it like this because this is how they comprehend it. My resurrection, me dead, me alive. Okay, verse 35. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up and with what body do they come? How are the dead raised up? How are the dead raised up? All right. We went over this somewhat before, but it's important to understand that the dead are not raised up. The dead are put away, and we who were dead have received another life, the life of Christ. He never was dead other than his physical body died, and, you know, he took upon himself us. But, I mean, he never was dead in the sense that we were dead, dead in sin. Dead. He never was. He never experienced that kind of death in that he was made sin. So he had to be raised. See, the soul that sinneth shall die. It doesn't say the soul that sinneth shall die, but there's always hope. God might forgive you of what you did wrong and you can be raised up. No, the soul that sinneth shall die. All right, there has to be a death and a putting away. But there's something new that comes forth. Not you again. Not you cleaned up. Not you forgiven. Not you. Not the dead raised up. But those who have received Him, not just those that receive Him as Savior, but those receive Him as life. That's why you ask Him in your heart. The heart being the seat of motivation, the seat of life and direction. Okay? This isn't just about believing in Christianity. It is not about believing in Christianity. It is about receiving a new life. They that receive Him will walk in newness of life. Okay? Newness of life. And this is, you know, every other religion has principles and things, and they teach you to be kind to animals and to love one another and to forgive and da-da-da-da. I mean, I'm talking about Buddha. I'm talking about Hinduism. I'm talking about Muslims. I'm talking about, some of them have better religious things that they say than maybe even Christianity. What we believe is that we have received another life other than our own. It is the life of Christ. That we have received a new birth, a newness of life, not the dead raised up. Not necessarily. We all know that and we say that, but our theology does not line up with that because we say things like, "How are the dead raised up?" And he's going to go on to explain the dead are not raised up. And he is going to explain very carefully that there is a resurrection body. And there is a body for death. There is a resurrection body and a body for death. And I don't know how far I'm going to get today. But the next time I get to share, I'm sure I'll get to it. I planned on sharing it today, and I just felt like the Lord told me to reiterate some of the things that I am saying right now. Maybe I'll get to it. But the resurrection body is bread. The death body is seed. The death body is seed. The resurrection body is bread. All right. That's just food for thought there until I get to that. All right. So the question, how are the dead raised up? And Paul, like I'm going to say, is about to explain, no, there is a death body that is not raised up in its form ever again. Ever. It is raised in a whole new form, and most Christians have not comprehended the resurrection form. Whatever they comprehend of the resurrection pertains to something in the future. It pertains to an event, whether it be Jesus coming back and there be a resurrection, or in the last days when we're all raised up. And you know, Jesus never refuted that. I know that there should be a resurrection in the last day, but Jesus did something greater than refute it. He said there is something greater than the dead being raised up in the last days. I am. And I believe that if we don't understand Him as the resurrection, there is no resurrection. I mean, if He is not the resurrection, and this was Paul's point in the early going of this chapter 15. If you don't believe the resurrection, we are of all men most miserable. Okay? So, the first part, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? And so Paul sets out to show that what is raised up is what is new to us. New. New wine, newness of life, new birth. And then he goes on to try to explain the form of the resurrection body. Once again, not talking about something in the future, but the resurrection that now is. It's very important, because there is no hope for the future if we're not living in it now. You know, if you're not taking a bullet for your brothers and sisters every day when the opportunity comes, you won't take one down the road when it's, I'm talking about in an actual situation. If you're protecting yourself and covering yourself and justifying yourself or blaming others, not taking a bullet, you won't take a bullet anytime. And that's just a phrase or a way to put things. That's kind of off what I'm trying to say. But I'm saying, if the reality isn't working in you now about resurrection, the hope of physical resurrection is based on spiritual reality that is more important than some event that will be. I don't know how else to say that. All right, and with what body do they come? Verse 36, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not made alive except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be. Now listen, this is the Scriptures, the Word of God. It is. We could say that it would be important to understand God's Word. It would be important to understand what this is trying to say to us. And that which thou sowest not the body that shall be, but a bare grain, meaning a seed, a bare grain, a bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain. In other words, in that seed, there is the form, once the death has taken place, of a new form, a resurrection form. But he's saying that whatever the death form is, whatever the dying form, will never, ever, ever, ever be the form that it once was. There will be a new man, a new form. It will never be the old. Okay, well, you know, folks, Christianity has not accepted that. Christianity has accepted a doctrine, just like Mary did with Martha, Martha did with Jesus about the death of Lazarus, and she's talking theology, and he's talking about his very own life as the resurrection. So Christianity has been Martha by and large, in that it has believed of an event and has never really entered in, not just to the knowledge of it. You got to have the knowledge. When I say the knowledge, the spiritual God-given reality, or just the Bible. You know, not spooky, hooky-booky, you know, revelation, but the understanding of what the Bible's trying to tell us, and to really comprehend that. And so, we haven't comprehended that, and the form of it Now, here's the catch. The form of it is not down here. The form of the resurrection, the manifestation of it is down here. This is why so many people are arguing and fighting, and they don't like this, and they don't, because they've never really understood the form. The true form is not here. It is not. It manifests here, but it is not here. It comes down from above, but it is not here. And we're all concerned about the form that we see here. We are all caught up in that because we walk by sight. We don't walk by faith. Because we walk by what we want and what we think the way things ought to be. And we don't even know that every ounce of energy we put to defeat the form here in the natural is defeating that form from ever manifesting in the natural. It's just crazy. We are, by our words, declaring we want the true reality of it, and by every action we take, tearing down and making sure that it will never manifest in the earth, because we have not truly laid hold of it in such a manner that it can be openly declared and shared in spite of what you see. That's called faith. It's a big deal in the Bible. They kind of make it a big deal. You know, it's about the only thing we can do is believe. And what do we believe? You know, and the problem is, because our believing is in the earth form or the natural form, our faith is always challenged, and it's up and it's down, and it's, we're strong when things are good, and we're down when it's not good, and we know, well, that ain't faith, because faith doesn't go by sight. Faith walks by the spiritual reality of what it knows, and it knows it because it knows it, and it will manifest it. And folks, that's right down to the simplest little thing that people are teaching in church about healing, which is true, and is faith, right up to the manifestation of the new man himself in the earth. But it's just not going to, it has no place working and tinkering with the manifestation. I just cannot, I have no words to explain this. If I could, it would be, oh man. I mean, gosh, I wish I could think of a great example, but it's just like trying to fix something down here that you can't even bring it about unless you leave here and you go to another place, and from there you are, and you declare, and there you have hope. You have every hope, because there it is. It's done. It's finished. It's settled. It's clear to God's heart. And it will be made manifest in our mortal flesh. But we're not trying to manifest that resurrection form. That resurrection. We're not trying to manifest the resurrection. We're trying to manifest Christianity. We want to do Christian things. We want to do Christian ministries. We want to heal, and we want to save souls, and we want to do all this stuff, which is fine. You know, I believe in all that. We believe in all that. But that has nothing to do with resurrection, unless, of course, you know, that's why it talks about even healing. That the same Spirit that raised Jesus, and this is talking about this Jesus, not the resurrected, the new form Jesus, not the single itty bitty entity called Jesus of Nazareth 2,000 years ago, but the new man, this new many membered body that we are in Him. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead quickened your mortal body. Well, see, we don't believe that. We pray for healing. We don't see results. We go, why didn't you do it? And I thought you healed it. It has nothing. There's no connection with another reality that is there and real, and that we bring that and we manifest that down here in the earth, whether it be by healing or it be by setting up ministries or anything else. It is just simply, you know, being Christians. And there is nothing in the Bible that says Jesus came to bring us Christianity. Christianity is not a religion. Or, I'm sorry, Christianity is a religion. Jesus is not a religion. Jesus didn't come to bring another religion. He said, well, they've only got like, you know, 200, 300 religions down there. I think I'm going to come down there and bring them another one. He came to bring us life, and that more abundantly. I'm abundant? Where's that at? Where's that happening? Well, I'll tell you where it's happening. It's happening there. And so that same Spirit, see, we leave the spirit of the thing. We don't have the spirit of the thing. But that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead quickens mortal bodies. You don't tinker with the manifestation. You don't even worry about the manifestation. You do what you can to talk to the manifestation about the real. You know? But in reality, you're not even talking to the manifestation. You're talking to the spirit and the hearts of those who are already there but have not laid hold of it by faith, and therefore they wander in the daytime as if in darkness, and they stumble at noontime as if at midnight. They don't know. They don't know. It's not that they're committing horrible sins or whatever. They just have not comprehended. There was not just a death. There was a resurrection, and you're part of it. You are part of it. Your form is totally different. Your form is not you. You are not raised. We are raised together in Him. And when it talks about your death or your resurrection or all the things that are important, it's never, 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 never you individually. Never. Check it out. I challenge you. I dare you. Get you a Bible and prove me wrong. Come on. No, I'm telling you. It's always we. We were raised up and made to sit together, together. It's always we. Nothing on that realm ever happened to just you. But we all are trying to work this thing into me and work it into my thing. And, you know, the best thing to do is get out of my thing and get into His. Okay? And that's what Paul's trying to do here almost 2,000 years ago. Let's see, 1999, almost 2,000 years ago, saying the same words about the same subject. You know, what if you were born back then? You'd probably be hearing the same sermon about the same subject. And God giveth it a body as it hath pleased Him, and to every seed its own body. All right, now let's look at verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. Now here's what you need to realize. What is sown in corruption is the form that needs to die. I don't care how religious it looks. It's a form that needs to die. What is raised in incorruption is the form that will never die again. Never die. Never, never die again. Ever. It can't. It will never die again. This form. You know, we're going, well, am I doing okay today? Do you think God's going to cast me out and I'll be, you know, well, yeah, as long as you keep ignoring the absolute reality of that which is, that will never die. You keep being an individual in an individual form based on your individual feats and lack of thereof. You know, there's danger. You know, it's called lack of faith, lack of trust, lack of Bible validity in your life. It's simply looking at you and ignoring the resurrection and the life. and so there is a sown form and there is a resurrected form. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body, which we're about to read here. Verse 43, it is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory, it is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. All right, dishonor, weakness, dishonor, weakness, What's wrong with this thing? Why can't it? Why the wheels keep falling off? Dishonor, weakness, wrong form. We're trying to pump something that is from above into something that is below. Instead of letting it manifest, we're ignoring the place of reality, and we're trying to make this the place of reality. We're living in the wrong place. We're living in the wrong understanding, and we're living in the wrong place. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. Okay, now get this. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. All right, this is what I've been saying now every time I've had to share just about this year. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. There are natural gatherings and there is a spiritual gathering. Well, praise God, we're part of the spiritual gathering because we operate in the gifts of the Spirit and because we feel the Spirit of God and because our worship is really, you know, really up there and because, you know, I really feel God and we see signs, wonders, and miracles and demons cast out and run away and all the things that we think. But listen to me. I'm trying to stick with the context of this chapter, and the context of this chapter is saying the spiritual body is not a earthly body doing spiritual things. The spiritual body, it will shortly say in just a minute, is the Lord from heaven. I don't care what is done down here in spiritual terms, it is not the spiritual body. It may operate by the Spirit down here. It may function or it may have spiritual things going on, but it is not the spiritual body. Can anybody comprehend that? In other words, yes, you can walk in the Spirit down here, but not be the spiritual body. Anybody get that? Raise your hand. Give me a sign. Amen. All seven of you. Glory to God. I mean, I believe that spiritual things have taken place, you know, thank God, before I got up here. You know, and spiritual things, you know, words and all kinds. But don't confuse that with this is the spiritual body, or our body, or anybody's body is more spiritual than anybody else's, because it's not, because it's not the spiritual body. It's not the spiritual body. There is a spiritual body, and the spiritual body is that which is raised. Not that which is down. That which is raised. That's the only spiritual body. All right. We're confused, and I'm probably not going to get there at all, but we're confused. We're confused about how to get Jesus into things, how to overcome. And a whole lot of that confusion is because we are trying to get God to make spiritual the natural body. And when I'm talking about the natural body now, okay, I'm not just talking about your physical body, though that's true. And I'm not just talking about those who walk in the old nature or something like that. I'm talking about even Jesus had a natural body that was made not for life, not for producing it and making it be seen here, but for death. Seed. With one purpose of death. One purpose of death. I'm not talking about physical death. I'm talking about, I mean, but obviously, yes. But one purpose, and that was to bring forth Christ in another form, or this new man. In another form, in another place. So if we're all concerned about this and the building and, you know, well, the steeple's crooked and, you know, I just think that, you know, I just think we need, you know, red carpets in the church, man. I just think we need red carpets. Well, we really don't understand, because all of our gatherings are gathered unto Him, but they're not gathered in Him. They're gathered unto Him. And it's no different than any other gathering on the planet. I don't care if they're the most carnal people in the world. I don't care if they're the most spiritual. I don't care what denomination, if they are Baptist or Methodist or Presbyterian or Lutheran, if they are gathered unto Him, then that's the gathering that they serve. And there is no difference. See, we want to make our gathering more spiritual, more, you know, bad terminology here, more better. Or, when it's not more better, when it ain't more better, then we want to leave and find the one it is. Which is an amazing thing. Instead of sowing to bring it about, it's just an amazing thing. We don't comprehend the full picture. We comprehend parts, but we don't comprehend. The only way to bring that about is the natural form. That's why I keep saying form instead of body, because we think of something else with body. The natural form must die, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much. Okay? And so, you know, we talk about being in Christ and we talk about the reality of in Christ, but if it's nothing more than a theology, if we're not truly gathered there, because you can tell if somebody's gathered there because they start refuting all kind of stuff that isn't there. Now, you know, if you check out most of the New Testament, I will tell you that the Apostle Paul spent his time trying to instruct people in the gathering that was finished. But he never just wrote one book, one letter, and one little chapter that said, it's finished. It don't matter if you manifest it or know it or anything else. It's just all done. You're in Christ and that's it, and it's just going to happen and faith has taken it. No, he spent his time trying to bring people to the understanding of that, and he kept saying that that was important. But when he talked about that which was, he knew that if people saw it, that they would quit striving to bring something about down here, and they would live according to it, which will bring something forth down here in manifestation only. It will manifest. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, quicken your mortal body. That Christ, now death worketh in me, but life in you, that Christ may be made manifest in my mortal flesh. Every time, all the time, there is an order, there's an understanding. Miss that order, then what you do is, you know, what you do is you either condemn Christ, or you try to make that which is not this Christ, Christ. You try to order it and to make it and do it and, you know. And, you know, I realize that God is yet teaching me. I'm not even embarrassed about the fact that God is yet teaching me. That I'm changing myself into that same image from glory to glory. That I don't know it all. I don't even mind that. I don't even mind knowing that there are things yet that must be changed in me. As long as I'm growing, you know what I mean? As long as I'm going on and something's happening, I don't mind it. I don't ever want to be short of His beauty and His glory, and I don't ever want to say and do things or set up things. But nonetheless, I'm going to do that just like you're going to do it, because none of us have all, you know. I mean, nobody has. You know, we always think, well, you know, I see your blind spots, but, you know, you don't see your blind spots. And I may see yours. You know what I mean? But we always think, well, you know, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to do what you didn't do. Well, you're going to do it in this area and you're going to overcome that. But the one you don't see is going to bite you in the rear just like the one I didn't see bit me in the rear. And so, you know, best thing to do is keep on going, keep on loving, and keep on praying, and keep on believing, and keep on working together and pulling together and have somebody watching over your shoulder. You know, when Nehemiah, when they were building the temple, one hand on the sword, one hand on the tool to build it, and praying for your brethren. Remember what it said? Standing until the whole thing is erected in the earth. And, you know, and this is also another picture of it. God took Moses up, and he showed him the real, and he said, make it according to the pattern that you saw in the mount. I don't care how much God showed up in the tabernacle on this earth. I don't care how many miracles took place in there, and I don't care how powerful that was. That was a shadow. That was a place of manifestation. It wasn't it. It wasn't the body. It wasn't the resurrection body. It wasn't it. But because God shows up and we feel stuff and stuff happens, we say, this is the body. And it is not the body. And the things that we do and say prove that the body that we serve is the one that needs to die. We need to die to that form. We need to die to that form and be raised up into this form. And let this one manifest itself. But once again, whatever the manifestation of that congregation, that gathering will be, it will only be the manifestation, Christ in you, the hope of glory, the moon reflecting the sun. I mean, in every way, it falls short, except that it has fulfilled its purpose, and that was to bring in the new. To bring in the new. All right. You know, I'm really doing great here, aren't I? I'm not even finishing with the scriptures. But there is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Well, I have some notes that I was trying to read these last time. There's a sown body that manifests in resurrection form and an unsown body. That's just another terminology. There's a sown body and it manifests in resurrection form, but the sown body is a raised body. And there is an unsown body, which I will declare, I'm sure, here in these notes, that has one purpose. As long as it exists, it isn't to shape up the church or the world. It is to die to its form and bring forth this one. You know, there's this unsown thing. And of course, I'm sure I'll say it somewhere here, but of course, the death that it must die ends up being a death with Christ. But it must die to its unsown form. That's its purpose. Not the full purpose. The full purpose is so that it can bring forth the greater, the other, the new. All in Adam die, which means it takes a death to get into the heavenly. All in Adam die. All in Adam die. Adam is not raised up. Adam is not raised up. Adam is not forgiven. Adam dies and no longer is, and now there is a new form, a heavenly form. It is the Lord from heaven, which we'll read in these scriptures. The spiritual body is the Lord from heaven. The spiritual body is the Lord from heaven. The spiritual body comes out of death. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. There are natural gatherings and there are spiritual gatherings. And now I'm not talking about a spiritual gathering manifesting spiritual gifts. I'm talking about a true God-given understanding in people who gather unto and in one, and they walk that out in conjunction with one another in manifestation. But they don't try, they're not like up here fighting and arguing about what they see and feel and taste and touch. They are not. They are not. They cannot. They would not. they are given to the gathering and the manifestation of the gathering in Him down here. Okay? There are natural bodies, but these are not the raised bodies or raised body. Some gather unto Him, but some gather in Him. Meaning, they gather down here in a group, they all gather, and they say, well, we're gathered in Jesus' name, so that is the gathering. No. You gathered in Jesus' name. You're not just gathered to Jesus' name. You're gathered in Him. The natural body must be sown in death to ever become one with the spiritual body. The natural form must die to its earth form and be formed in the heavenly. That's the only way I know how to say it. It must die not only to itself. All right, now this is important. Because we're always talking about dying to self. Well, I got to die to self. I got to die to self. I got to die to self. Well, you know, I want that ice cream cone, but, you know, if I do, I'm going to end up looking like an elephant or something, you know. So I got to die to self and not, you know, eat that ice cream cone. Or, for some people, that's the fullness of dying to self. You know, I'd really just rather gorge myself with food right now, but I'm not going to do that. I just died to self. You know, and I do realize that that can come into play. There's nothing really wrong with that. But that's not all there is, you know. And then even if we go beyond that, okay, I have to die to self in relationship to that. I have to die to self. Okay, that's fine. We talk about it a lot. There's aspects of comprehending that in the Bible that you must comprehend. Sometimes we say it wrong around here. Sometimes we give wrong impressions of things. But the truth, there is a truth that is there, and it is there in the Word. Okay? But beyond that, it must die not only to itself, but also to its natural form and be formed in Him. Now, there's a death to self, meaning a death to the old nature or a death to the soul life or a death to the things that, you know, death to the devil pulling us off into sin or something. Or, you know, there's that. But folks, there's a death to the old form in which we live for God. There's a death to that. And it is every bit as equivalent to Moses bringing them out and being gathered unto God. And you see what happens when you just gather unto Him. You're of God, you're gathered together, and that makes everything wonderful. Amen? That's what you got in the wilderness. Just wonderful existence of murmuring and complaining and, you know, division and strife and problems and, you know. And so, but there becomes a death to that by virtue of the Jordan, and the death takes place when you die to what was the wilderness form and you enter in. Okay, do you see the picture? It's there. It's there. This isn't... And enter in through this Jordan. Moses is dead. The old form is dead. Arise now and enter in. And why? When you enter in, you've entered into a whole other form of which they had the Bible in the Old Testament. Much of the stuff that's written, Deuteronomy, da-da-da, all this stuff, it was given to them while they were in the wilderness. But it never fit the wilderness. It fit a certain place and a certain form. So what do? We forget, we don't even know the resurrection form. We just try to set it up in the wilderness. Because all we've heard is dying to self. And we've never really comprehended that God's going to bring us to a death, to one form, and bring us into another one that is the New Jerusalem that comes down having the glory of God. It doesn't go up, rapture, get me out of here, oh, da-da-da-da, and I'm not... What I'm saying by that is, not that I don't believe in there's a rapture or that you're going to go up. But the truth is, the greater truth is, you've already gone up if you're born again. You have been raised up and made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's finished. You have been. Not you're going to be. Or you're going to be. But you have been raised up and already made to sit together. Together. But He didn't make you sit by yourself. And I don't want to hear about no sitting by yourself. Because you are not sitting by yourself. You are seated together. Now I'm going to go through here. I'm just going to slap certain people, okay? Is that all right? To the glory of God, of course. I'm just joking. We got a visitor and he don't know me. So I'm just the guest speaker here. All the real preachers are missing tonight. So this church is not this way. And but I mean, you know, we're all wanting, you know, this and we're wanting that. We're all living in the natural form, totally ignorant of the form that we are and pining away trying to get what is. And if we're not pining away, we're griping away trying to get what is. God help me! Okay, I'm going to speak in tongues, and you get it, okay? That's the only way I know how to communicate. I'm telling you, we are ignorant of the true, and we're doing everything within our power to make the true down here, and to have it, and to get some sense of it. And Jesus is there, and we're in Him, and He's done the work, and He sat down. He sat down. What does that mean? Sat down at the right hand of God. We say, well, it means He was the chief honcho and the head dude, and God really liked Him and let Him sit at His right hand. No, when He sat down, it meant the work was done. Done, done, done. But we're going, well, it ain't done. I'm sitting by myself. You ain't sitting by yourself. You are seated together. He didn't seat you by yourself. What does it say? The single He setteth in families. You ever read that? Yeah. Well, when's He gonna do that for me? I'm sick of being single. I want to have little babies. I don't want to be alone no more. I want to have. Oh my God. You know, I just got a hint for you. If what you have isn't flowing out of that, it ain't going to be a lot of fun. I know that you think it will be because you watch TV and movies. Okay? But I'm telling you that it ain't going to be what you think it is because you'll corrupt it if they don't. You know, that's weird. Everybody needs, you know, nobody's going to listen to anybody. Everybody's going to try that on their own. That's why we got the divorce rate is up over half now, you know. Because everybody, well, I don't want to hear that. I mean, I just don't believe that. And it's going to work for me, you know. And I just believe, and I'm just going to tell you, I believe that we have lived, and are we perfect or is it? No, I'm not saying this, but I'm telling you about my happiness and my joy is that we have lived for that reality from the very beginning when I opened the book of Ephesians and saw all the way through to the fifth chapter and then saw what marriage was and what it was based on the first three chapters and forward. And then it brought me into five and it says this, and Jesus gave Himself to produce this. And I understood that it wasn't beating her into submission. It was me dying to self to bring that forth. And me loving in an effort to produce, not, you know, kicking and, you know, and fighting and going, why won't you just shape up? Why won't you be everything that I need and what I want? But even looking beyond that and saying, we live for this reality, Him. We exist. We were brought together. We don't have our little, well, we really haven't got to spend a lot of time together. I don't hear that, although there are seasons. Somebody said to me, I don't remember who it was, so I'm sorry if you're in the room or you listen to this tape later on, because I don't mean anything by it, just somebody said to me recently, Oh, we were at San Antonio, and the band was ministering at Buddy's church, and the other group had been for 3 or 4 days over at Gateway Baptist Church and out on the street. And somebody said to me, you know, gosh, it must be really hard not to be with your wife. And I just broke out into a smile. I said, man, it's not only not hard, it is a privilege. I said, because you know what? We're one and we're one in Him. And I know that He's alive. And I know that He's living in me to whatever degree He's in me. And I know that He's living in her and flowing on through. And I said, I've got me over here and I've got Him over there because I know that I want Him manifested. And I know that I'm in two places at once. And how many people can say I'm in two places at one time and am bringing forth Christ at two different locations at the same time? I mean, I'm just telling you, I didn't have to go, well, let's see, let me give a spiritual answer here. There's seasons that God gives us and we have all the time we want. And there's seasons that God says, man, it's going to be tough and you're going to have to go and you're going to have to be apart and everything. But it's for Him and others. It's for Him and others. So we look each other in the eye and go, let's go. I don't ever remember her going, no. No. I want you, babe. I got you, babe. I got love. In the spring, you know. I got you to wear my ring. Oh, my God. You know, and, you know, she's a girl, and there have been times that we've had to sit down and have a little talk. But I'll tell you what we talked about. We didn't talk about my way so that when I die, I can sing. I did it my way. You know, I feel like the Lord's wanting me to sing today. You know, and, you know, well, bless God, you're one with me. I got my way. The man's ahead. And we're gonna do it the way he wants to do it. No. I sit down with her and I say, look. Here's the truth. Here's the truth of the Word of God. Here's why we join together. Here's what we join together about. This is what we've always said. Will we depart from Him now? Will we leave Him now over some issue or some time or some moment when mine or your emotions are high and says, I want? This truth has always been, regardless of the seasons and the times and the place, and we will live for God. And then when she hears the Word, she goes, yeah, I've just been washed. I just been cleansed. I've been washed with the washing. Yeah, let's go. You know, not, you know, drag her by the long hair or blonde head and go, we're going. I'm man. You woman. You do what man tell you. You know, natural form, not the spiritual form that is reality. I don't know how I got off on all that, man. I'm crazy. All right, if I read, maybe I'll quit singing to you. I just feel like I want to sing. No, not here. All right, it must die not only to itself, but also to its natural form and be formed in Him. It is no longer, here it is, it is no longer just Christians gathering on earth to give glory to God. It is no longer, that's the form we die to. Just being Christians on earth gathering to give glory to God. That is not according to what we're reading here in 1 Corinthians. And you have the Bible. You should check it out and come to your own conclusions, regardless of what I'm telling you. But you ought to know what your Bible says. And if I'm wrong, then just mark me off, baby. But if it's what I'm just saying is what's here in the Scriptures, then you need to order your life according to the Scriptures. Okay? No longer just Christians gathering on earth to give glory to God, but one in heaven having the glory of God. Did you hear that? One with a capital. One with a capital. Gathered in heavenly places, having, already having, and therefore manifesting the glory of God. Not trying to get the glory. Oh, we need to bring down the glory. Let's bring down the glory. That's the wilderness experience. You check it out. The glory manifests every time they're gathered together and the right order is set up and the right hearts are ready and they're gathered as one and they're just in Him. The glory manifests, but it just manifests. But everybody's trying to get the glory. And we've already got the glory. We are the New Jerusalem. Have you seen the Bride of the Lamb, the New Jerusalem, descending out of heaven and having the glory of God? This is the resurrected form, the resurrection form. It is no longer Jerusalem, which now is, but Jerusalem, which is above. She is not trying to go up, either by revelation or rapture, but to come down. And that scripture is Revelation 21, verses 9 through 11, where it talks about having the glory of God. All right. Lord willing, creek don't rise, next time I share then, I want to share on this reality of seed and bread. Okay? I want you to consider the scriptures about seed and bread. Seed is a form, and it's of God. But it is not the resurrection form. Seed is a form, and it is of God. But it is not the resurrection form. It is not the resurrection body. God giveth it a body as He will. Da, 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 da. But know this, whatever form you sow is not the form that comes up. Okay? So seed is important, but it is only important if you comprehend. It is important to bring forth this other resurrection form, which ultimately ends up being many seeds, which ends up being crushed to bring forth one loaf or one bread, or this is my body in the New Testament. It's a whole nother form. It's a whole nother form. And it is not you being a Christian, living an individual Christianity. It is you knowing who you are by Him and in Him and not seeing yourself after the flesh anymore, knowing yourself after the flesh and running after your things after the flesh. But it is having died to that form, giving your part, whatever that be, to make one loaf, one bread. One bread. This is the form that God's trying to bring us to. Let's stand together.